Welcome to the official Equine Affair podcast. This podcast is your inside look at everything to do with Equine Affair, from special events to exclusive interviews with top equine professionals and a whole lot more. I am your host, Allison Renborg, and today we have two very special guests. First, we'll be chatting about all things Fantasia with Fantasia performer and Equine Affair clinician Fred Wynn. Then we'll speak with Jill Siragusa from Horizon Structures, one of our sponsors. Stay tuned for two great interviews coming up next. Welcome, listeners. I am especially excited today to introduce you to Fred Wynn of Wayne, New Jersey, who is a personal inspiration of mine, as well as an amazing horseman. Fred is a Burmese American who was born with only a partial right leg. He is a successful attorney, speaks seven languages, and holds multiple championships in various equestrian disciplines, such as show jumping and FEI and USDF dressage. He is the winner of multiple championships at the AQHA Congress Freestyle, a finalist at the Run for a Million Invitational Freestyle in Las Vegas, and the NRHA Futurity Invitational Freestyle in Oklahoma City. He is also the undefeated USA reigning champion at the USEF National Championships. In addition to all of this, Fred practices Liberty, Polo, and the art of Spanish dressage. And we are excited to welcome Fred to perform in Fantasia this fall in Massachusetts. Plus, he'll be teaching as a clinician during Equine Fair. So with no further ado, let's say hi to Fred. So welcome, Fred.
Hey, good morning, Allison. Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. You make me sound better than I am.
No, you are just as good as all that and more.
Thank you.
So Fred, I thought it would be great if you could share with the audience how you fell in love with horses, because I know this is a really unique story to you and I want everyone to know about it.
You know, Allison, as far as I remember, I think I'm about 7 years old, maybe a little younger, a little older. And I got a pony ride in my, I live in a city with no horses, a lot of cars. So some people from outskirts of city, they will bring the pony to the downtown where I live so that they can make some money out of people riding on their horses, you know? Mm-hmm. So it just that the sound of the hoof trotting on the pavement, what is that called? Cloping? Or yes. Clippity clope?
Yep. Yeah,
that sound is so exciting. I remember as a kid, every time the horse trot in front of my house, I got butterfly in my stomach. And even now, if I hear that noise, I have butterfly in my stomach. This is how I know I love horses. So then later on, I start riding with them. They would charge me certain money. They would let me, you know, ride a few blocks and come back. And then this is how I'm falling in love with horses. And then those ponies came to the in my area. But later on, I will follow those horses with one leg, you know, hopping because I don't have protested late. So, and then I will follow those horses without knowing that how many miles I already been hopping, just following those pony, even though I'm done riding them and they move to next town, I will follow them. And the funny thing is I never felt tired and I never feel pain, anything in my leg, of course, until I got home, you know, and then my knees are swollen, my hips are pain. But then next day I do the same thing again. It's such a God creature that make me so excited and love and passionate about, even I was in younghood. It's amazing how I will be able to hop behind the pony for many, many miles every day. Just following the horse make me so happy, you know?
Yeah. The strength of your love just sort of took all the tiredness and the pain away until you were home again. But in the meantime, it let you follow those horses wherever they were going to go.
So this is how I started, Allison. I don't know that I will love the horse so much that I will become who I am today.
Yeah, but just that noise, that clip clop. I mean, looking back now, you're such an accomplished rider, but looking back now, who would have guessed that just that simple noise and that simple gift of a pony walking down the street in front of your house would lead to the life that you're leading today? I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you are an accomplished rider, as I said, of multiple disciplines, reining, show jumping, dressage, liberty, and polo, plus Spanish dressage. And so I wanted to ask you, since your experience is so diverse, what do each of these disciplines have in common, in your opinion?
You know, the doesn't matter what discipline is, either reining or dressage or even totally opposite, discipline. I think the thing in common that if you want to succeed in any of this discipline is that you need to first download the program in your horse brain, basically teaching them how to learn. The program that you have to put in the horse is, so basically you got to download in their brain that how to learn. You got to teach them how to learn. Once they know how to learn, then you can teach them what to learn. So most people, what they do is they would tell the horse what to learn. I usually teach the horse how to learn. So one horse know how to learn, then whatever information, new information you put in, the horse learns so fast. So it doesn't matter what discipline it is, and then the horse can, you can be successful in any discipline. By training, keeping the horse, keeping the horse to be very fresh about learning. It's just like we go into college, and a lot of people think, what do you learn from college? You know the professor cannot teach you unless you are there at exactly at 9 o'clock, and then you are willing to sit for entire class, right? So if
Right.
somebody is willing to sit for entire class, then you can retain the information. But a lot of people skip that step with the horses. That's why I made the horse to be a good student. Once the horse became a good student, and you can teach any discipline in very short time, they can learn something. And then, of course, main thing is that, creating the trust and bond with your horse. So one horse trusts you, even something that he cannot do in his life, he will hold on you and do it for you. That's something that I see in common. That no matter what discipline, if you got trust from the horse, and if you teach already how to learn the horse how to learn, then you can do anything.
I love that. I think that's a really great philosophy. And like you said, it applies to people and to horses. We can study a test, for example, and like learn all the answers to a test, but that doesn't mean that we learned how to learn about the subject. It just meant that we learned how to ace that particular test. But if we learn about how to learn about a whole subject, then we can ace that test and the next test and the next test and on from there. So that's great. I love that. I love that idea. Okay, and then let's talk about the horses or horse that you'll be bringing to Equine Affair.
Oh, I'm excited. I recently bought a 3 years old futurity horse. His name is Wimpy Juice Cocktail. He is beautiful, gelding. And I think it's Palomino. Okay, I don't even know his color, but just he's gorgeous. But I'm keeping him for training for reining for now. And hopefully by that time, he will be a little bit mature enough for me to do the garrocha. So I'm not worried about this. Like I said before, if you teach the horse how to learn, I can do anything within a week or two. So, that's my plan is. So I named him a Tesla. So his bond name is Tesla.
That's great.
Can you believe that 15 million years ago, God created this fully self-driving, animal, that creature that we still don't know how to use their full potential yet. And I'm sure they can do a lot more if we have another 50 million years.
Yes.
They have more intelligence than us, even though our intelligence is very different from their intelligence,
Right. And so I'm so excited. Congratulations about your new baby, your new Tesla. Do you still have Stella?
No, Stella's, I give it to the girl who wanted to rein in. She is such a sweet girl and she loves Stella. So I want her to be happy. I don't want Stella to be doing a hard job. Raining is a hard job.
Yes.
And then Stella also have a baby. So I want her to just have a relaxed and fun life, you know, and useful somebody that who wants to learn more about it, you know?
Wonderful. Oh, that's great. So for the audience, I sort of dropped that there, but Stella has been Fred's partner previously, and he's ridden her to many multiple championships, and she's a beautiful mare. He's done some fabulous freestyles on her. And so sounds like you've sent her on to a happy new home, and you've got your new partner to work with. So that's exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So in Massachusetts this fall, you'll be performing in Fantasia, and it sounds like it'll be with Tesla. So tell us a little bit about what you're planning.
Yeah, I plan to do very exciting Spanish Garrucha. Okay, I call it Spanish Garrucha art, you know, and then I'm going to do with beautiful Spanish music in the background. It would be very pleasant and thrilled to watch it. It's exciting to watch it. So basically, Garrucha is a Spanish word for the long pole that they use in walking equitation. You know, the old time, you know, they use as a tool of the traditional cattle walk in Spain. It is very fun thing to train for your horse too. And then, you know, for me, is being able to maneuver this pool, you know, while controlling my horse is a great test of partnership and trust. You know, this is why I call it art. You know, it is very exciting, and I really can't wait to share with the audience.
Yeah, I'm so excited. You know, of course, we haven't been able to host Equine Affair or Fantasia in person for the last couple of years, so everybody's really excited about this fall because it'll be the first in-person event we have had since 2019. And I know that first night of Fantasia, when the lights go down and the acts begin, that everyone's going to be super excited. And I'm just thrilled that you're going to be there doing this amazing, beautiful, artistic performance with Tesla. That's going to be awesome.
So do I. Thank you.
So I wanted to ask, does your act have personal significance to you?
Well, you know, this Garrucha art inspired me, you know, when I was in Spain and, you know, when I was watching, it's just like a man preparing for battlefield with his horse to attack the enemy. It's very powerful how they hold the Garrucha and how the horses run, how the horses break, how the horses turn around. You know, the agility is amazing. You know, I call it is applied horsemanship. You know, we are, you know, I want to do that. Whatever I do on a horse, like dressage, show jumping or whatever, I always want to do this in everyday life. I just don't want to do it in the arena, you know? And I just don't want to treat it as just a rider. Like, for example, driving cattle, pulling the tree, you know, those are the skills that your horseback riding skill, but you use for actual real life or real purpose, you know? So I think it's good for horses, so, and also good for your skill to be not to waste it. Not just as a competition, also really apply in the real life, you know? So I really don't want my dressage horse to do the leg yield in the small arena for 10 years, you know? The horse got bored. They want to know why you are asking the leg yield for, and I rather do that in the outside of the arena and do something else, you know? I call it walking horsemanship or applied horsemanship, not just a theory, but just actually doing it. I think that Garrucha art really inspired me to actually do it with the horse instead of just another, you know, another discipline or method. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. And I think that goes right along with your philosophy you were talking about earlier about teaching the horse how to learn. So teaching the horse how to do these things, not just in a small arena, but out in the world for real purposes.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I love it. And then in addition to Fantasia, which of course we're excited you'll be part of, you are going to be hosting a clinic at Equine Affair, and it's about peer mentorship for amateur competitors. So what do you hope people gain from attending that clinic with you? Kind of give us a preview of what you want to talk about.
Well, first of all, you know, I don't call it clinic because I call it as a mentorship because today's world is people like to treat somebody that teaching you and somebody is listening to you. But what I like to do is a peer mentorship, basically saying like kind of like your older sister or older brother, telling you what to do next to you, instead of parents telling you what is right and what is wrong and you must do it. You know, it would be nice, you know, your sister came to your room or your brother came to your room and say, hey, what your daddy said is this, what mom said is this, this is what they mean. You know, we all learn more from that. You know, we all know that this is the best way to learn. So instead of being like, you know, coaching or clinic as a trainer, I want to give them that's why I call it peer mentorship, peer to peer. I want to give them an inside knowledge from side to side. And then I want to, you know, tell them what you should do and what I will be doing without criticizing them, and then giving them enough time to respond it. You know, so I think that will make the big difference in the learning process for the audience, you know, so they won't feel like they are in the classroom or they are in the competition. They feel like, you know, their older brother or older sister telling them what to do. So that's my goal is. And yes, that's basically it is. And also, I want to teach them, you know, I want to show them how to maximize their horse gymnastic, you know, basically soaking in the entire body. You know, like I said before, you don't need to teach the horse how to jump. If your horse know how to jump, but the horse body is not soft, the horse body is not strong, there is no way this horse can be successful. But if you never teach the horse how to jump, but if you make his body to be relaxed and flexible, kind of like a contortionist, mm-hmm. and then make sure all of his joints and muscles and energy came from the hind leg, then there is no reason the horse will not jump. I can go to any jump and then the horse will do that. Or I can just go to the, you know, dressage and horse will do that. But a lot of people don't work on that. A lot of people go do what the discipline is asking, but never able to, you know, work on the horse gymnastics. So that's what I'm going to be showing them. And also, you know, I want to, you know, I want audience to gain the confidence from doing so too. You know, the confidence came from, you know, the rider having confidence, also your horse having confidence, and your horse confidence reflect you and your confidence reflect your horse. But obviously the confidence is amazing work, but it's not the easy task to do. A lot of people say, oh, have a confidence. Not easy. This is confidence doesn't come, you know, naturally. You have to build that too. You know, it can be up and down, you mm-hmm. know, so that's where I want to teach them how to make use of your weakness and to make it the best strength. Sometimes your best strengths are actually your enemy. So how to hide it, how to enhance it. Those are the things that they're going to be learning. And also I'm going to, you know, explain them about competitive mindset, what to do, what not to do. A lot of times people think competitive mindset means somebody has to be strong, somebody has to do the best. No. This is what you do and don't every day in the habit of the horse. Every day you do with your horse is called habit. Consistent, that's where you do and don't at the barn, at home. Those are the things that actually help you to become a competitive mindset and then do better in at your show arena, you know? So, like, you know, like simple thing I want to say, for example, putting the halter on the horse or taking out the halter. And I have seen a lot of people try to put the halter without horse giving the face. Or I have seen them, you know, they take out the halter. The minute they take out the horse, you turn it and go to the food in the store. You know, those are the thing, the very bad habit. What, like I said, do and don't in everyday life. When I take out the halter, after I take out the face, I hold in the neck. And then around his neck with my arm to make sure the horse not run away and the horse stay there and wait for me. Mm-hmm. And then after I take out the halter completely, I make sure the horse stay looking at me. Then I step backward at least 3 steps. The horse follow me in the store. One, there is a food is waiting for him. You know, he's hungry. He's just right? You just rode him. He's very hungry. But you know what? He's not thinking about food. He's thinking about coming back to me. So mm-hmm. the horse have to follow me at least 3 steps. Then I will say, thank you, baby, go eat. You know, then the horse go eat. So these are the do and don't, little simple thing, but it will help you, believe it or not, help you to load him in the trailer. This technique that I just told you, help you load him in the trailer. This technique that I help you, help you not to refuse you one in the show arena, because the horse is not thinking about the competition. The horse is thinking about how I'm going to listen to my rider. You know, the trust and bond. So when those little things that actually help you in the competitive arena, that's what you did at home. Those are the things that I want to, you know, explain the audience about it.
I love all of those. Those are some amazing topics. And I think that people are going to get a lot from that because they're going to get to watch you, of course, and know that you are as accomplished as you are and that you've actually been walking this walk. You know, this is stuff that you do and it's how it's helped you become successful. So I think that that really helps to kind of lay the foundation of you getting to teach people this stuff. So that's awesome.
Can't wait for that. Yeah.
I know. And, you know, a few years ago when you and I met and we did another interview, you were telling me then how you were looking forward to teaching someday. And so I'm just so excited to see that come to fruition this year that you're going to be teaching people. So what do you love about teaching or coaching other people? Because you're clearly passionate about this.
I do, Allison, I do. But, you know, I don't even call it teaching. I call it sharing the knowledge, you know. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that everyone, whoever, if you know the one sentence which is good, you need to share with people, you know. You don't have to be like the best Olympic trainer or anything like that. But always remember, people listen to you more if you are their mentor. People listen to you more if you're best friends, you know. They don't learn from professor, they don't learn from Olympic coach, but they learn from their best friend. This is human nature, you know. So like being a lawyer, you know, I give a lot of advice to people. When you explain it to them in the plain language, like people on the street will talk, they mm-hmm. understand that and then they trust you more, you know. So this teaching is basically about making somebody to understand it, not try to make yourself fancy and then, you know, using all the sophisticated term. That's why I call it mentorship. Basically, you know, if I know the one sentence and then I will teach them, but no matter how small what you are teaching is, make sure it's correct. You know, you can teach, you can, you know, is basic knowledge is better than sophisticated, but unfollowable advanced knowledge. So, you know, whatever I know basic language, I make sure it's correct. Then it will help the other person to do better, you know. So basically, one, of course, I'm going to be, you know, talking about a lot of advanced stuff that people, you know, never heard from other trainer. That is because I didn't create it, you know, but I have a different perspective in life and just different perspective as a horse rider, you know, being born as a disability. I think I can bring a different perspective to them that will make them, you know, hearing from me is more exciting than hearing from everyday trainer, you know. So another thing is I want a rider, you know, I want them to see themselves from above. Basically, kind of like when they are riding the horse, you know, there's a drone following you above you. So most of the time when people ride, they're always looking at the horse and see what's wrong with the horse, what's wrong with the horse. But there's nobody above them watching them, what's wrong with the horse. There's a trainer yelling at them in the middle of the arena. But I want to teach them how to criticize yourself, how to able to see yourself from the drone and say, oh, I did this wrong, I did that wrong, you know. So able to, you know, kind of like seeing yourself from the drone and then being able to criticize yourself. That's what I want my teaching is about, so that, you know, they will be able to learn better and then self-critics, and then that will help them, you know, better performance in every step that they take on a horse.
That's a great analogy, a great way to think of critiquing yourself, thinking about what am I doing? Right or wrong, and kind of looking down at yourself that way from a drone, as you're saying. I love that. I love that vision that you gave. So we're about out of time, but I wanted to ask you, what's your best piece of advice or your favorite piece of advice to share with young aspiring equestrians or equestrians who are your age? What do you love to tell people?
Well, Allison, very simple. People like to give a lot of advice. I'm going to say one sentence, just do it, you know, just do it, you know. It's simple as it is, because you know what? There is no difficult than starting point. You know, if you can start it, you can achieve it. You know, establishing something, starting something is more difficult than, you know, everything else, you know. Like, for example, like if you planned to start going to the gym for your New Year's resolution, right? Hey, New Year resolution. Oh, I'm going to walk out. I'm going to be fit. Oh, New Year resolution start on January 1st. Don't wait for January 1st. If you plan to do it, just do it. The minute you plan it, just do push-up 20 times, sit up 20 times at home. No need to go to gym and wait for the gym to open. You know, if you want to lift a weight, just lift a chair at home 20 times. If you do that after 30 days, then go to gym. Well, the problem with a lot of people is that they create that idea of, oh, you know, I'm going to go to gym and work out. I'm going to go ride the horse. I'm going to, you know, get the best trainer in my area to ride the horse. No, just go ride the horse. Just do whatever you want to do. If you don't have a horse, get on the, sit on the barrel, pretend like you are riding, you know, rock the chair and pretend like you're riding and teach yourself balance first before you teach the horse how to trot and canter. Teach yourself balance. There's so many things that you can do on your own just by doing it instead of, you know, this is my goal, this is myself, this is what I want to see in 5 years. No, 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 just do it, you know. It's kind of like, let's say if you need $100 and then, you know, and then you ask your friends and say, hey, listen, I need $100. Can you borrow me? And your friends say, oh, wait 3 days. I'll bring it to you. Would you rather wait that 3 days or you start, you know, go get the job, get the odd job, $100 a day. By the time 3 days finish, your friends come, you already have a $300 in your pocket, you know? So that analogy, no need to wait anything. Just do it. The best thing is when you do yourself, everything will follow you, you know? This is a real success, you know? So trust your will, not your tool. You know, don't trust a tool around you. Trust your will. Everything else is controllable and managing.
Another great piece of advice, Fred. You're just full of gems today. All right, so just do it. There you go, audience. That's your instruction for the rest of the day. All right. And that wraps up our segment with Fred. So I wanted to thank you again, Fred, for joining us on the show. So thank you for being here today.
You're welcome, Allison. And I also want to thank you and Fantasia Equine Affair for making this happen right after COVID. And I'm sure a lot of people will be inspired and hungry for knowledge at this event. And I also like to thank the listener. You know, I appreciate your time for listening to us.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we are excited for the opportunity to see Fred this fall. And we're also excited for the opportunity to see everybody listening to this podcast at Equine Affair in Massachusetts. So thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time. Our next guest is Jill Siragusa, Chief Marketing Officer for Horizon Structures, LLC. Horizon Structures is the official barn of Equine Affair, and our avid podcast listeners will remember that we have spoken with Jill before in September 2020. So it's been a little minute, but let's welcome her back onto the show again. So, hi, Jill.
Hello. Thanks for having me back. Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you too. I'm so glad to hear your voice after so long. Let's catch up a little bit. How have things been going for you this past year?
Oh, Allison, so busy. You would not even believe. People are, I don't know, bringing their horses home or something, but we are selling a lot of buildings and we've been very, very busy.
That's great. I mean, that's really good considering, you know, it could be the opposite.
Right.
That's awesome. So you guys have been selling a lot. So let's kind of talk a little bit about the business. Tell us a little bit about Horizon Structures and what all kinds of buildings you sell, what all kinds of barns that you sell, and what it's been like this past year.
Okay. We sell prefab and modular structures, and most of our sales are for equines or livestock, run-in sheds, shed row barns, and modular buildings, which would be like your center aisle barns with or without, you know, an upper level loft. We also sell pre-built chicken coops, which have been going crazy as well. And are relatively new. We've had it a couple years, but prefab dog kennels, which are also very, very popular. We do some outdoor living structures, gazebos, pavilions, pergolas, and we have some prefab greenhouses, which are very new to the product line, and gaining popularity, and also some backyard swing sets, play sets. So we cover a wide range of areas with our buildings. We ship coast to coast in the continental U.S., and literally we are sending buildings everywhere, and everything's been moving very well this year. So I guess that's the silver lining in the COVID cloud. People were stuck at home and spending time on the computer and spending money on improving their property and taking care of their animals with a Horizon Structures building, I guess. it's been a very good year for us.
Well, and that's great, because I mean, I know so many people who have gotten new puppies during COVID, for example. So I was thinking about the dog kennels and people who have increased their, you know, they want to have more eggs, you know, maybe be more sustainable. So they're getting chickens so they can have eggs in their backyard, hence the chicken coops.
Exactly.
So that's great. Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. So people were definitely seeing the silver lining and staying home and spending more time outside and doing fun things like that.
Yeah, we're seeing it here for sure.
Definitely. That's great. So we're, of course, looking forward to Equine Affair in Massachusetts this fall, which is going to be our first live in-person event since 2019. Sort of speaking of staying home, now we're talking about trying to get back out there. So what's everyone at Horizon Structures looking forward to most about getting back to the show in Massachusetts?
Great. Glad you asked. We missed that show last year so much. We love going there. And although I personally don't get out of the office to go to the shows, my salespeople tell me every single year they love seeing our fans and our customers year after year, and new people too that just are discovering Horizon Structures. But we set up a big barn. I think you have to walk through it when you come in the gate. You got to go through the Horizon barn. And the best thing of all is people coming in and saying, "Hey," you know, our sales guy, Brad, and Brad always recognizes the people. And that is the best, just to see, you know, those friendly faces again. We absolutely love it.
Well, and I think everybody's really looking forward to that face-to-face interaction again, with their friends, with the companies that they love, with the salespeople that they remember. So that's going to be a really nice part of getting back out there in November and getting to actually talk and interact and touch the products, you know, walk through the barn. That's going to be really fun for people.
Absolutely. It you know, seeing it in person, kicking the tires, so to speak, is
right.
No catalog, website, phone conversation is able to do that. And it just means so much. It means so much for us to be able to show it. And we know it means a lot for our customers to have the opportunity to see it and experience it in person.
Yeah. And so we've talked about some of your newer products, but do you have any particular new products or updates that people are going to get to learn about or see at Equine Affair this fall?
Well, as you can imagine, to actually see our product is a little challenging just by the nature of the product, but we always bring a center aisle barn, several run-ins, and a shed row for people to, as we just talked about, actually see it, touch it, stand in there, look around. A somewhat of a new product that we rolled out about a year or so ago that if people are checking out our website, I would recommend they look for it, is our timber frame barn. It is absolutely breathtaking, the timber frame construction, and just something I would encourage everyone to look at.
If people have questions about Horizon Structures, what's the best way for them to get those answers?
If you're at the show, of course, stop by the booth and talk to one of our salespeople. They're extremely knowledgeable and able to answer anything you might have on your mind. Of course, the old way of just calling the office or sending us an email, We're here Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to about 4:30. Someone's in the office to talk to. But we also, and I should mention this, I guess, before I forget, we just launched a new website about a week ago. And we have a blog out there, a searchable knowledge base that we literally have several hundred blog posts on mostly barns, but we also have quite a few on kennels, some on the coops and other structures as well. But you can type in a keyword or a question and search that blog. It's just, the whole website is just tremendously informative. There is a ton of information out there. So we are hoping we covered all the bases there to make it easy to find whatever you need to know.
That's fantastic. And what's that URL for people?
It is www.horizonstructures.com.
Perfect. Easy and simple to remember. Well, all right, folks.
Yes.
That about wraps up our episode today. So if you have questions about Horizon Structures, you know exactly where to go online and in person at Equine Affair this fall. So I wanted to thank Jill for joining us. So thank you for coming on the show today and sharing a little bit about Horizon with us.
Thank you for having me, Allison. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Wonderful. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And we will see you at Equine Affair. Thanks for listening to the official Equine Affair podcast. I am your host, Allison Renborg. Equine Affair gratefully acknowledges its sponsors, Absorbine, Farnham, U.S. Equestrian, GGT Footing, Horizon Structures, Neutrina, Cowboy Magic, and Mane and Tail. We will be back in person at the Eastern States Exposition in West Springfield, Massachusetts on November 11 through 14, 2021. And at the Ohio Expo Center in Columbus, Ohio, on April 7th through the 10th, 2022. You can buy tickets, see the full event schedules, and all the latest news at equineaffair.com. And finally, catch up on all our past podcasts online by visiting equineaffair.com/home/podcast.